1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. Is the Federal Reserve about to cut its benchmark interest rate? That could become a little clearer later today.
The Federal Reserve's annual conference at Jackson Hole has been the site of some important policy statements by the central bank. The latest one could come today when Chair Jerome Powell addresses members. He's expected to provide more information if the Fed could cut interest rates at its next meeting and by how much.
ABC's Daria Albinger. To the thunderous applause of a standing ovation, Vice President Harris accepted the Democratic nomination for president last night. She called on Americans to chart a new way forward. She and Second Gentleman Doug Emhoff marked 10 years of marriage on Thursday. Former President Trump visited a border crossing in southern Arizona at about the same time Cochise County deputies were arresting Ronald Lee Siverid on outstanding warrants after, say, authorities, he posted a social media threat to murder Trump. This is ABC News. The U.S. Postal Service wants to save $3 billion a year with delivery changes it insists will not negatively impact most customers.
The Postal Service says it wants to shift to streamlined regional networks already happening in Atlanta, Richmond, Virginia, and Portland, Oregon, which it says will help with the steady huge increase in package shipping. People living near the hubs could see faster delivery, but maybe not at rural addresses. The goal remains the current 1 to 3 days delivery for first-class mail. Election mail, like ballots, won't be affected, officials say. It'll all need the okay of the Postal Regulatory Commission.
ABC's Chuck Sievertson. Something about the shipment of watermelons coming in from Mexico spurred Customs and Border Protection agents at the San Diego crossing to take a closer look. Mixed in with the melons, more than 1,200 packages of methamphetamine wrapped in paper colored to look like watermelon skins. The 2 tons of meth valued at $5 million. Richard Cantu, ABC News.
Busted pencils. Fully leaded education talk.
If the critique, if the beef of Tim Walz is that he spent money on children, on what they needed, whether that be universal meals or whether that be, you know, record amounts for a state to invest in early childhood development, I am like, man, you are critiquing this guy and making him even more my hero.
Busted Pencils with Dr. Tim and Dr. Johnny. Weeknights at 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Out here in the middle of all these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. And sometimes that's how it feels when you're going through tough times. Trouble sleeping, your mind racing. So what do? We get help. There are people in our community who are here for us. Sometimes just talking to someone can make all the difference in the world. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. University of Wisconsin Regents have approved mass layoffs at UW-Milwaukee. Nearly 36 employees will lose their jobs on campus. During a meeting Thursday, Regents said they were put in this position because the UW system doesn't have enough funding from the state. Often tenured professors are safe from layoffs like this, but state law ended tenure protections in 2015. The employees work in the College of General Studies, which will close next summer. UW-Milwaukee Chancellor Mark Mohn said cutting these positions is necessary, even though the Faculty Senate voted against it. And the FDA has signed off on new COVID-19 boosters. Spread of the virus is at its highest summer peak since 2022. The new boosters from Moderna and Pfizer-BioNTech will roll out soon. The CDC recommends everyone over age 5 get a COVID booster and a flu shot. And that's what you need to know. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson, and this is Civic Media News.
The Brewers face the Oakland A's. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers open a 3-game series tonight in Oakland. They got shut out yesterday in St. Louis 3-0. The Cardinals' Miles Michaelis held the crew to just a pair of hits through 6 innings. Brewers manager Pat Murphy.
I coached Miles in 2013 in Tucson. I know a lot about him, and I know his ability to pitch. He went overseas and with the Texas Rangers, really learned how to pitch, and then all of a sudden really learned some things, and then got a big contract. He's been a great pitcher, and he's very capable of that. that, and he dominated us today.
High school football, over 360 high school teams kick off their season tonight as part of the statewide WIAA competition. NFL, Packers and Ravens tomorrow at Lambeau Field, kickoff at noon. Matt LaFleur.
It's always great to go against a competitive team like the Baltimore Ravens, one of the premier teams in the National Football League. We're just looking to competing against them and getting better today.
That's Packers head coach Matt LaFleur. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Mostly cloudy today with a high right around 80 this afternoon. The wind will be out of the south at 5 to 15. Tonight, partly cloudy in the low 60s. Tomorrow will be partly cloudy with a high in the upper 80s. Could be an isolated shower or thundershower tomorrow night. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now it's 64.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Dan Schaefer's going to recombobulate at 10:33, and we got special guest host Amy Westrup of Comedy Sports joining me all morning. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, LaCrosse's home for the Todd Allball Show.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who once planted evidence so he could make a citizen's arrest, Pete Schwabba.
Big shout out, if I may. A radio shout out to Chris Casper, one of the amazing engineers here at Civic Media, who I make his life a living hell wherever I go, because when I did a remote a few weeks ago at the Minocqua Brewing Company, Chris had all kinds of stuff thrown at him last minute. I don't know what I'm doing. I've been doing radio for 7 months, so I'm totally lost, and he's just got my back. He's a great guy, so thanks for working hard for us tonight and getting things right for our in-studio performer, Marta Hansen, who will be here at 8:20. So we have a few more minutes here with Pat McGann, who has been waiting patiently. Pat, so who do you think is funny today? If you're not watching your own stand-up and laughing hysterically, like I assume you do every night, who are you watching that makes you laugh?
Sebastian Maniscalco.
Yeah.
Who puts me to work all the time.
There you go.
I really enjoy him. No, I also enjoy, I've been a fan of Bill Burr for a long time. I don't think I would probably drop any names that surprise you. I don't watch a ton. I mean, I do and I don't, you know. Nate Bargatze, very funny guy. I enjoy, I'm trying to think who else I've been watching. I liked Wanda Sykes' last special. I thought her special on Netflix was very funny.
She is.
I'm trying to think who else.
Do you like Chappelle? Are you a Chappelle fan?
Yes. I mean, Chappelle, Chris Rock, all the like obvious, right. Brian Regan, a lot of these. But you know who I think about a lot is John Caponera.
Oh, yeah. Fellow Southsider there. Yeah. Very funny.
Yeah. And I think about how I observed him, and maybe like it didn't dawn on me at the time, but it was like, I remember like talking to him backstage, and you know, he's about to go on, and he was not like, you know how some people be like, hey, I got to get in my zone, I got to get in my space. And he was like the one carrying the conversation, and he's about to go on. So then he goes on, and you ever get that feeling like, wait, that's a different person that was just back here.
Huh.
Like, he just flips this switch and becomes right. Like a performer, because that's what I feel like sometimes we almost have to remind ourselves, like, yeah, you're doing stand up. Yeah, you're doing jokes. You're doing a lot of the same stuff over and over again. But you have to like act like you're doing it for the first time in a way.
Right.
And I didn't really like maybe identify it at the time, but it's like, yeah, he flips a switch and he goes to work and he performs the material, like becomes like this animated character in a way.
Yeah.
And I just think there's a lot of takeaway from that when you see it in person, especially when you see it like he's this guy backstage in the green room. And then he goes up there. You're like, how is that the same guy that was just in here? You know?
That's so great. It's very interesting you say that, because I remember that Zany's green room. And I remember I was in a college contest when I was at DePaul. And the other comic, I think it was Larry Reeb and Anthony Griffin, were on the show that night. And I'm just hanging out, waiting to go on. And they're between shows. And Anthony Griffin, this is going to sound so weird. Anthony Griffin is eating a beef sandwich from like Mr. Beef down the street. And I'm like, God, all I want in life is to be eating an Italian beef sandwich between shows in the green room at Zany's. You know what I mean? Like, it was just
right,
like,
right.
I don't know, that what you just said made me think of that. And it was, it's those great things we keep with us as young comedians or performers that are so impressionable. And Campanera probably doesn't remember talking to you that night, but it had this profound impact on you. That's so cool.
Yeah, for sure. And then that's what it is too. You know, it's like, there's no classes you can take. There's no school you can go to. It's just doing it, observing it, being around it, and, you know, trying to really just learn from the experience and from, you know, being around people that you're always going to be around people that have been doing it longer, you know?
Yeah.
And you're always going to be around people that have been through it. So those are the people I've always learned from a ton.
That's great. What is your career goal, Pat? You got, you know, you're doing theaters. You could probably do theaters, I'm sure, without Sebastian, but you're having fun with him. That's great. Do you want to keep selling out theaters, have your own sitcom, be a social media sensation, chimney sweep? What are your aspirations? I don't know.
I mean, I would love to. I want to keep developing the stand-up. You know, I feel like I'm just kind of getting going with some of the material, is getting like closer, more like, feel like I'm being myself on stage, and, you know, keep doing stand up. If there's an opportunity to do a sitcom or do a show, I would be open to that. I like hosting. I would love to host a show. I want to host your show. I want to take this show over. It's only a 3-hour drive to Madison. I could do this.
You could commute. I'd be scared you would take it over, but I actually need to find a replacement in mid-August, because I am taking a vacation and they want me to find a replacement. So I know you're half joking, but that option is there if you want it. I'll just say, you told me you got divorced recently, and usually when I've had, you know, obviously a lot of friends that get divorced, and you never take sides.
I asked you not to bring that up.
It takes two people. I know, but now you're threatening to take my show away, Pat. So I'm going to make you look bad. No, but it takes, you know, two people to be married, two people to get divorced. And you're the one case, and I don't know you really well, but I feel like I have a good sense of the person you are, where I'm like, I would never leave Pat. And I have a staunch record of heterosexuality, Pat. But I don't know how anyone, I don't know how you're divorced. And that's a compliment. And I don't even know what to do with it. You seem like a great guy. No, is what I'm saying.
No, it was not in the plans. I didn't see it coming, but, you know, it's hard to talk about in a country where marriage is so sacred, you know.
The reason I brought that up, I was trying to throw you a compliment, but you do great jokes.
It's Shaq shooting a free throw. Those are the chances of success. The same as Shaq shooting a free throw. It's a coin flip. No, I
didn't mean to bring.
I was surprised by it too. I know. I'm surprised by it too. But I think it was, you know, a lot of like, you know, just life happening in the last several years. And, you know, it's, I'm trying to talk about it more like on stage with, you know, I'm talking about like, just like getting my life together. Cause I had to get like all new furniture. Because when you're getting divorced, you're not looking ahead thinking like, hey, where am I going to sit? So I had to go to like Bob's Furniture. That's when you know your life's in disarray, when you're at Bob's Furniture. You know, because you ask questions. Like, there's a lot of furniture. Hey, this is this maple, oak? What's this? Like, no, it's the dust. That's the sawdust. And we press it together. And then we sell it to sad people like you. I mean, I got a sectional made out of denim and gauze in my house. Armrest is like a cinder block with a kitchen towel wrapped around it. I got a concussion taking a nap.
It's just,
I don't know if you bought furniture recently, but they'll try and talk you into like getting a cup holder. You want a cup holder in your couch? Like, I'm getting divorced. My life's not over.
I was just trying to get you to talk about your kids and all the jokes you do about your kids. And here I got some of the new divorce material. That is so great.
Where am I trying to work it out?
Where am I going to
sit? My kids are busy, though. They're good.
Yeah.
They got enough going on.
Speaking of kids, Pat, everyone that comes on the show, I ask them what they're watching. Or have you taken your kids to see any of the summer blockbusters?
No, I have not. They want to see the Despicable Me 4. That's in the plans. And that's what it is now. Like, you go to these, it's like, you want to see Spider-Man 12? You want to see Batman 9? Every redo. What are we watching? We watch YouTube videos of people opening presents, but we don't see faces. We just look at hands opening packages. That's what kids watch now. So satisfying.
That sounds fun. What about you when you're done after a long day? I assume you write for 12 to 14 hours a day. What do you watch when you put your pen down? I assume you write with a pen too, Pat.
I do. I write with a pen, feather pen. I quill. I have a quill and I dip it in my ink. No, I watch, you know, what I'm watching right now is the new installment of Hard Knocks.
Nice.
HBO. It's like the New York Giants trying to build their team. And I'm watching, what else have I been watching recently? I watch a lot of documentaries. I don't watch a ton of comedy.
It's hard to watch. I find it, I'm like into true crime and stuff and cop shows. I can't watch comedy either. Like I'll flip around, and if I see something, I'll watch it for a little bit, but no, I'm with you. When are you coming to Wisconsin? Last question for you. When can we see
you?
I'm going
to be with Sebastian. I'm going to be with Sebastian November 6th. In Milwaukee.
Oh,
at
nice.
At that arena, Fiserv.
Oh, wow.
Which is going to be pretty insane. And that's all I have on the books for Wisconsin right now. But I'm hoping to get back to Milwaukee myself. I'm working on coming to the Pabst, I believe.
Oh, sweet.
So I hope to be able to, you know, share a date on that soon.
Okay.
But then, I'll be traveling with Sebastian when he comes through in November.
Pfizer Forum. That's no. Are you gonna dunk?
Yes. Yes.
Sweet.
I gotta find somebody to dunk on.
That's a great closing bit. Just don't open with it, Pat. Never open with a showstopper. But I think if you dunk at the end, if you dunk at the end of your set, you'll be in good shape.
Can I close on a left-handed layup? Would that impress anyone?
Yeah. Absolutely. Hey, man. This is so great. I'm so glad you took some time. It was just great to have you on the show. I cannot thank you enough, my friend.
Yeah, really good to see you and hear you, Pete. Thanks for having me, bud. I really appreciate it. And
you got it.
Like I said, I want to take the show from you.
Well, bring it. I don't know what am I supposed to say to that.
I was joking, Pete.
I know. Think about guest hosting, though. I'm sure they'd love to have you, especially after hearing this interview and how much funnier you are. Seriously, great time. Thanks so much. And we'll talk soon. Keep us posted on the Wisconsin dates, too.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks, Pete.
Okay.
Good to hear you, buddy. All right,
you
bye.
Too. All right, that's Pat McGann. Check out his special, When's Mom Gonna Be Home, on Amazon. Very funny. Fun for the whole family, too. Pat is mostly clean and just hilarious. So check him out on Amazon Prime. Coming up next on Nightlight, we have...
Eagle 1490 AM.
Over the past 20 years, Wisconsin has seen a huge increase in reported elder abuse cases. Elder abuse is the verbal, physical, emotional, sexual, or financial abuse of a senior citizen. It can also be the intentional or unintentional neglect of an older person. Wisconsin's population of seniors 65 and older is projected to grow significantly in the coming decades. That's why we all share the responsibility to help protect our seniors by recognizing and reporting any signs of elder abuse. If you believe that elder abuse has been inflicted upon yourself or someone you know, please report it. Call call the Wisconsin Elder Abuse Hotline toll-free at 1-833-586-0107 or visit reportelderabusewi.org. Respect our elders. Report abuse. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Justice.
This project is supported by the Administration for Community Living, ACL, U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, HHS, as part of a financial assistance award totaling $120,000 with 100% funding by ACL HHS. The contents are those of the authors and do not necessarily represent the official views of nor an endorsement by ACL HHS or the U.S. government.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Up North News Radio.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back. On tomorrow night's show, we've got a great show tomorrow night as well. Friday, we will be done. We will be back live on the radio and on the app and for the entire show. And we are going to welcome Terry Bell, who will give us an overview or a review, I should say, of the Democratic National Convention. And it's a bar band Friday. Terry Barr will be here with new music like she always is. It's always fun to talk to Terry. And Peter Nickel will be here to talk about Curdfest 2024, which is taking place in Madison. That's this weekend, right, Conrad?
Yeah, it's on Saturday.
All right.
No, sorry, Sunday.
That's a big difference. You show up looking for curds on Saturday, and you come up empty. We are going to move the show along now, and I am so excited to have this next guest on the show. He was on, I think Richard was on the first week we launched, and I didn't quite have a total grasp of the clock, and he started to tell the story about Casino, and I'm just kind of, I know Richard's on the line right now, and you can hear me. I just want to prepare you. I am going to ask you to tell the Joe Pesci story again, because I felt like you were rushed last time, and I felt bad about that. So let's welcome our new our next guest. Excuse me. Sorry, I'm terribly drunk. He is an acting legend and Wisconsin native. Richard Reilly joins us. Hey, Richard, how are you?
I'm good, Keith. How you doing?
Good. I could have just as easily said you're a Wisconsin legend and an acting native because you have so many acting credits. It's like you were just kind of born of acting. So either one would have worked.
Well, I appreciate both of them.
How are you, buddy?
I'm okay. Since last time we talked, a friend of mine who's writing something, I don't know what it is, for Notre Dame, decided to check out Notre Dame's 100 best known alumni. And he had to call me and tell me that I was 34th.
Whoa.
Which is something.
Yeah.
They're I would say 70% are athletes, of course.
Yeah.
But it's a very interesting selection. Manti Te'o, do you remember
him? Oh, sure. Yeah.
Yeah, well, he was fifth, and the actual Rudy that they made the movie about was tenth, and so I'm not too swell headed about it.
Oh no, but that's pretty good company.
Oh yeah, absolutely. No.
I mean, top 100.
George Wendt is there, and he never graduated, and of course Phil Donahue just passed, and Regis Philbin, who both donated lots of money to the university, which I haven't done.
And they still chose you. That says something.
And they still chose me. I know. It's unbelievable, isn't it?
I have uncles that went to Notre Dame, and they never stopped talking about Notre Dame. And that's how the alumni are. I didn't know you went there.
Yeah.
So good for you. That's a pretty impressive. I mean, their alumni network is incredible. It's like one of those schools, where they're everywhere. So the fact that you cracked the top 1,000 even, I think, is impressive, much less the top 34.
Yeah.
So, well, congrats. That's pretty good. What was your major, Richard, when you were there? When you were at Notre Dame, were you studying theater?
Well, sort of. What happened was I went to Notre Dame in order to get a degree in engineering, because that's what everybody did at my age. And I immediately flunked an organic chemistry class and got a D in calculus. And so they said, this is probably not the right path for you, but you're taking this 5-credit advanced German class. Are you in our sophomore year abroad program? And I said, well, I could be. They said, well, you have to be a German major. I said, no problem with me. So I was a German major for a year. spent the year in Salzburg and Innsbruck and traveling around Europe, and came back and realized I'd never be able to make a living doing that. And I was looking for a job at the university, and some guy by the name of Professor Lovelace, if you can imagine, who was the head of the psych department, said, "Well, I've got a job. I'm trying to put together this test that I've created, and I need somebody to collate the responses on my test with a bunch of other tests. Would you be interested in doing that?" I said, "Sure." He said, "Well, you have to be a psych major." I said, "Hey, not a problem." So I was a psych major for a year until I had to take a statistics course, okay, which I immediately flunked, and never being very good in math. And but he left at the end of the year, and so now I was kind of stuck. I had these huge debts going to Notre Dame, and had no idea what I was going to do, and I needed to get out of there, hopefully with a degree. And one of the guys I'd been in Innsbruck with said, "Well, you know, you can get all the credits you need in speech and drama in one semester." And so I said, "Okay." And so I became a speech and drama major.
All right. What I'm taking away from that answer, Richard, is that you had two Fs and a D in financial debt, and they still have you as number 34 on their alumni list.
Exactly.
It's a very unbiased program. Well, that's so great. I love hearing, just because I've had my own financial struggles. I probably had ADD, and I don't know that I ever actually flunked a class, but I was not a great student. And it's nice to hear stories of people that just don't fit in those square pegs, so to speak, or those round holes, whatever you want to call it, and still went out to have great success. So, and I was looking at your credits. You have, it goes up every time I look at it, obviously, which means you're working like gangbusters.
I keep trying.
You have 441 credits.
Oh my God.
If I just came up to you and asked you about a random movie you did in 2001 called whatever, would you remember it? Like, you've got so many credits. That's got to be hard to keep straight.
You know, I might. TV shows sometimes are a little more difficult, but movies I usually remember pretty well.
Okay. Interesting. You have all this stuff coming up too. I was looking at your IMDb page. You have like 20 films in pre-production or production. Do you, I just don't even
it's
know.
It's all lies. I can't believe anything you see on IMDb.
Thank God, because I was worried about you. Like, if I wanted to book you in a movie, I couldn't even, you're not even available. Like, it seems like that's how busy you are. How does that feel?
Oh, I'm more than available. Believe me. I played Santa Claus in a movie called Hack at the end of the year last year, and then didn't do anything again until, July, and I spent the month of July in Kansas City doing the Hallmark Christmas movie, but I didn't play Santa Claus this time. Ed Begley and I played the two grandfathers.
Oh, fun!
Oh, it was great fun. The thing was that the guy who directs them is brilliant at directing these things. He's absolutely great, and they keep asking him to do it, and he hates to do it. So he makes them give him all these concessions. And the one on this was, he only wanted to work with people he had worked with before. So he called me up and he said, "Would you be willing to come out to Kansas City for a month and do this this movie about the super fan for the Kansas City Chiefs?" And I said, "Well, I guess so, yeah." He said, they're gonna try and lowball you, and just promise me that you'll do it. So I said, "Okay." And it was fun. We had a great time.
Oh, that's so great.
And a lot of those people I had worked with before too, because, you know, we worked on various things as well.
Because you have 441 credits, it's bound to happen. Richard really is my guest. We'll have more with Richard coming up after the news. I'm going to ask him to tell his Joe Pesci story of Casino. It's Peach Wabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. Just like the sunny morning
light. You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX. La Crosse's home for Matinee on Air.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. is the Federal Reserve about to cut its benchmark interest rate? That could become a little clearer later today.
The Federal Reserve's annual conference at Jackson Hole has been the site of some important policy statements by the central bank. The latest one could come today when Chair Jerome Powell addresses members. He's expected to provide more information if the Fed could cut interest rates at its next meeting and by how much.
ABC's Daria Albinger. To the thunderous applause of a standing ovation, Vice President Harris accepted the Democratic nomination for president last night. She called on Americans to chart a new way forward. She and Second Gentleman Doug Emhoff marked 10 years of marriage on Thursday. Former President Trump visited a border crossing in southern Arizona at about the same time Cochise County deputies were arresting Ronald Lee Siverid on outstanding warrants after, say, authorities, he posted a social media threat to murder Trump. This is ABC News.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed. Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tome Olson. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The four hotel workers arrested in the death of Devontae Mitchell have pleaded not guilty. Prosecutors allege they pinned Mitchell to the ground in June. He later died. The defendants include two security workers, a front desk employee, and a bellhop. They're charged with felony murder. They each face up to almost 16 years in prison if convicted. All four defendants are expected back in court October 15th. And a Wisconsin company scored a huge new military contract. Here's Lisa Hale.
Oshkosh Defense has awarded a $1.54 billion five-year contract to build new and refurbished heavy tactical vehicles and trailers for the U.S. Army. Oshkosh Defense has produced over 71,000 heavy tactical vehicles for the United States and other nations. The Army can start buying vehicles from Oshkosh Defense on the contract this month.
And that's what you need to know. I'm Savannah Tome Olson, and this is Civic Media News.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Conan O'Brien as a sex worker? Who hasn't pictured that? On his Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend podcast, the former talk show host sat down with actor Walton Goggins, who stars in the new season of White Lotus. During their conversation, Conan said that last year while in Bangkok, he ran into White Lotus creator Mike White and pitched himself as a gigolo in the show's new season. Goggins said he could see O'Brien playing a gigolo and actually being a gigolo in real life, all while keeping a straight face. Good actor. The third season of White Lotus premieres on Max in 2025. Well, it's happened. After months of denying their marriage was in trouble and moving out of their $60 million crib, it's official. Jennifer Lopez has filed for divorce from husband Ben Affleck 2 years to the day after their big wedding celebration in 2022. Now she's Jenny from a different block. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Mostly cloudy today with a high right around 80 this afternoon. The wind will be out of the south at 5 to 15. Tonight, partly cloudy in the low 60s. Tomorrow will be partly cloudy with a high in the upper 80s. Could be an isolated shower or thundershower tomorrow night. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now it's 64.
CapTime's Idea Fest is back for a week of powerhouse speakers and sessions exploring important local and national topics. September 15th through the 21st in Madison. This year's guest speakers include Speaker Emerita Nancy Pelosi, former Member of Congress Liz Cheney, Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson, and historian Heather Cox Richardson, along with many others. Idea Fest brings together changemakers to discuss Wisconsin's triumphs and failures to help reach a better state. Purchase your tickets today at CapTimesIdeaFest.com to join this premier thought festival.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinee on Air with Jane Matinee. Weekdays 10 till noon on the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM WLCX, and on the Civic Media app.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Madison Curdfest rep Peter Nickel. Civic Media's Terry Bell gives us a recap of the DNC, and it's a bar band Friday night featuring Max Sync Radio's Terry Barr.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to a Thursday night edition of Nightlight. Here we are broadcasting statewide from our beautiful studios in downtown Green Bay. Great to have you with me on this beautiful summer Thursday night. We don't have many summer nights left here in your old native state of Wisconsin, Richard. So I hope you appreciate. I know. Do you get back much?
Well, I hadn't for a while after my mother passed, and I was back in June for a couple of weeks. My sister is living in Ashland, Wisconsin, right?
Oh, wow.
Superior.
Yeah,
she's got this thing about the big lake, and two of my other sisters were a little worried about her, so they called me up and they said we want to go up and see how she's doing, and so I said fine. So I got on, I was doing nothing. I got on a plane but it was pretty direct. I got off in Milwaukee. We stayed at one of the motels near the airport. We drove up to Ashland. We spent a couple of days up there. Came back, spent a day in Franksville, where one of my sisters lives, and then I was back on a plane and really didn't get to see much of the state this time around. Normally, I try and make a point of it, but it was too crazy, and everybody was talking about how difficult it was. A lot of the truckers and that they were at the motels, how they couldn't find a place to stay during the Republican convention.
Oh yeah.
And some of them were in West Bend. We're staying in places in West Bend. Yeah.
That's a crazy long drive too, Milwaukee up to Ashland. That must have tested your patience a little.
I think it's a little over 6 hours.
Oh man. So all right, last time you were here, you had this great story about how you got the role in Casino, which, what a great credit to have. I mean, such a fun movie, such a great director, surrounding you. Can you tell that story again for people who might be listening and didn't hear it the first time? It's such a great story, and I felt like we got rushed last time. So I would love to have you tell that story, if you don't mind.
Well, I'd be happy to. I don't mind at all. I think it was the Tuesday before Thanksgiving, I get this call from my agent saying, can you be on a plane at 1 o'clock to Las Vegas? And I said, okay, why? They said, well, they just lost an actor and they need to replace him immediately. And, so they're seeing a couple of people. Go to the, Burbank airport, pick up your ticket and sides and learn the sides on the way there. And, you'll be auditioning for, Martin Scorsese. And I said, for what? They said, for this movie he's shooting up there, Casino. I had never had an audition. I hadn't heard anything about it. They had kept it very hush-hush. And so they said there might be some other actors on the plane. So I said, okay. So I get on the plane, and the only other actor that I saw on the plane was a fellow by the name of Clive Rosengren, who was sort of semi-retired. He's gotten into writing, so he does a lot more of that. But he was an undergraduate when I was in grad school at the University of Minnesota, so I knew him, and so we went up there, and they put us in a couple of cubicles in the honey wagon there, and they said as soon as they break for lunch, we're gonna take you over and have you read for Scorsese. And so I said great, and so I'm there madly cramming these two scenes, and knocking the door. And the AD says, okay, you ready to go? I said, yes, so. And so I went over there, and we're sitting at the banquette, and it's Joe and Scorsese and the script supervisor and me. And so we do the two scenes, and, you know, it was much as any audition goes. And they said, great, thank you very much. Go back there, and... we'll try and have an answer for you after lunch. And so I said, okay. So there's another knock on the door about an hour later, and it's the first AD, and he says, would you trim your mustache? And I said, sure, why not? and he said, okay, say goodbye to Clive. We need to take you as soon as possible over to get fit for a couple suits.
Nice.
And I said, okay. And so I knocked on Clive's door. I said, sorry, it worked out this way, but I'm sure I'll see you back in L.A. And then I go out to the I go out to the roadside there to wait for the Teamster guy to show up, and there's Joe smoking a cigar, and I said I had done this movie with him called Public Eye, which is about Ouija, which is was a great film, and it wasn't like we became fast friends or anything, but we had so many scenes together, and we shot in Cincinnati, we shot in Chicago, we shot in L.A. We spent a lot of time together. And so I said, Joe, I just got to say, I know I didn't knock out of the park there, so I'm sure you must have put in a good word. And he says, yeah, just put it up, buddy. And I said, okay, fine. And then the Teamster shows up, and he takes me to some men's store there, and they for a couple suits. And then he takes me to the hotel we were staying, which was the Hard Rock, which I thought very funny. And on the way, he says, so who are you here to play? And I said, well, Banker Clark. He said, oh, I was wondering what happened to the guy. I said, what do you mean? He said, well, they had this older guy in before, and he was shooting he shot for a couple of days. He shot one day in this home with Joe and the woman that was playing his wife and the kid that was playing his son. And then they took him into this room, which began to prep shooting this scene where Joe essentially throws him down the stairway. And so I said, yeah. They said, well, he spent a day in that room, and it was kind of high tension, I guess, for a number of reasons. One was, it was the actual house where the gangster had lived, right there on the golf course.
Oh,
and they wanted to shoot this scene where the airplane comes in, lands on the golf course, and the FBI agents come into the house. And so they went to the people who had bought the home from this guy when he went into witness protection down in Florida, and they were a little reticent about it. And they said, "Oh, no, we'll give you, good money. We'll put you up, someplace nice while we're doing this, and give us your name of the interior decorator, and we'll make sure that everything is fixed up, just the way you want it." And they said, "Well, we throw this New Year's Eve party every year. It's kind of a big deal." They said, "Oh, no problem. You'll be up. We'll be out of here by then. We'll have everything back the way it was." So at this point, which was the day before Thanksgiving, they were already a month behind, and the people showed up just to see how things were going. I guess the day that this guy, the first day they shot, the other guy shot, and they were not happy, and everybody, the producers and Marty and everybody was trying to be nice and say, no, it'll all work out. Don't worry about it. So, what happened, part of the deal was that the room is 270 degrees glass. And so they would have to wait until the light was just right on the outside, and in order to shoot something.
Hmm.
Then they had set up two curved dolly tracks, and with a camera on each one, moving the entire time from in opposite directions back and forth. But all the action was walking across the tracks. They realized that they were getting a great performance from Sharon Stone by really being nasty to her, and so they kind of continued that, and so that created another tension on the set. So I'm sitting on this couch with Joe and we managed to get a couple of master shots in, but nothing that they were happy with. And Joe was saying, You know, once we get it, it's gonna be madness because then we got to get all the coverage. And Bobby won't remember every take he does differently. I mean, totally
really
by feel.
Yeah. Wow.
And you know, he's not purposely changing it, but you know, if he senses that makes him react a certain way, he's going to do it. And he said, so he will not remember what he did on the take that we used. And so he's going to have to sit with his script supervisor and go over every line and move. He said, but he's amazing. The script supervisor goes over it with him and bang, he knows it and he's great on all the coverage. So they finally got a master that they liked. We did a lot of the coverage, and then the final shot was Joe has this great speech about how I may be in prison for 10 years, but I'll get out, and you'll just be coming out of your coma then, and you know, and I'll take care of you again, and then he throws me down the stairs. Well, there was no spiral staircase. At the time when they came in to shoot it, so they built it was a set piece, and it every time you would throw me down the spiral staircase, the whole staircase would shake. And so, but we finally got it, and you know, and it was very exciting because it was just so interesting to everybody's demeanor on that set. I mean,
yeah.
One of the things that impressed me was, you know, these guys are the one thing you're interested in is making the best possible film,
yeah.
Whatever that takes. And the other thing that was interesting is that they all put on their trousers one leg at a time, you know, just like the rest.
Yeah.
And they were very. And they really wanted to include everybody in the process as well, and that was just amazing. Now, unfortunately, they had to pick up all this stuff that they had to reshoot the scene with Joe and his wife and the kid, and that was my favorite scene. It's been totally cut out, and one of the reasons it was my favorite scene is because it was the one scene that showed Joe as a family man. I mean, outside of being, you know, this kind of monster,
Spilatro, or whatever his name was in the
as we shot it, as we started shooting, and my job was to explain to him what a CD was, what, you know, you put the money in, you can't take it out before blah blah blah, and so Scorsese I'd start talking to Joe about it, and then he'd send in the actress playing the wife with a bunch of with a thing of lemonade, you know, and so we kind of have to deal with her and the lemonade, and then I'd have to bring it back to where you're doing that, and then that would go on for a little longer, and then he sends the kid in with his baseball mitt, and Joe is trying to put a little neat foot oil in it. Loosen it up for the kid, and you know, and then they eventually send him off so that he can hear the rest of this routine that I'm doing, and I really liked the scene a lot. Well, unfortunately, the kid thought that he was wrapped when they shot the scene with the other guy, and he'd gotten a haircut and didn't look at all like you know. And so they shot it, but they realized they could never use it. So.
Well, we'll pick it up right there, Richard. We got to do a quick thing. Richard Reilly's here, folks, from Casino and Office Space on Nightlight with Pete Schwab. We'll be right back.
We'll sat there at the table and acted real naive. Who knew that topless lady?
This is the talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
It all starts with a question more than 75 years ago. Can hauling a fishing pole to the water hole be made easier? Bob and Bill Johnson find an answer, and the very first multi-section bamboo fishing pole is created. It's 1948. The brothers' invention also leads to the launch of St. Croix Rod Company in Park Falls, and it becomes the talk of the state. So do you know which fish is considered the prize catch in Wisconsin? Is it northern pike, bluegill, or walleye? The answer coming up. The St. Croix Rod Company continues to call Park Falls home, but now operates what is considered the most advanced facility in the country. The company offers more than 800 award-winning rods and reels, still being created as the answer to every angler's fishing question. So which fish is the prized catch? Walleye.
Yeah!
It's challenging to catch, delicious to eat. And this is not the one that got away, but is one true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr.
You're listening to The Eagle. WLCX, Lacrosse's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
I love that when I do like a story for one of the Hollywood beats, it's kind of a sullen, sad thing, and then I go, for more showbiz fun, like, those should all be done individually, Conrad. We have to do. There was a newscaster in Marinette used to do that. He's like, and the little girl was killed by a tractor. I'm Bill Phillips. It's like, whoa, tone it down, buddy. My guest is Richard Reilly. He is 441 acting credits and counting. So you were telling the story about on Casino, and the kid cut his hair because he thought he was wrapped. What did that do to the scene?
Well, they can't use him because he doesn't look like the kid in all the other scenes that he was in.
That's so terrible. You know, on a much smaller scale, I did a film called The Godfather of Green Bay, and years and years ago. Tony Goldwyn, who was so great, played Big Jake Norquist, this Green Bay gangster. He had these goofy-looking henchmen around him. And this is what you get when you shoot in a small town and you use locals as extras. I had two great henchmen for him in the shot, and they looked great, Richard. And they were in most of the scenes, but I had one more scene to shoot, and one of them left because he had a headache, and the other one wanted to check on his mom. I'm like, what? You can't just do that, you know?
Right.
But it sounds like it happens even at the higher levels too. You know what excited me about that story is when you use Marty and Bobby. I think that's so cool that you're talking about Scorsese and De Niro, and you're just in the moment with those guys. And what you said about putting their pants on, like, they're just regular dudes on this great artistic goal.
Yeah, and I only use those names because that's what Joe calls them.
Yeah.
You know,
it's so great.
I would never think to call him, Mr. Scorsese. And
sure.
Yeah. You know.
Go ahead.
There was one more scene that what happened was is that they kept shooting a scene with me and then send me back to LA and then shooting another scene and you know, take me out to Las Vegas and send me back. So I'm in Los Angeles one day and I get a call and it's the first AD. He says, "What are you doing?" And I said, "Well, I'm just sitting here in my apartment." They said, "Well, De Niro wants to have you on the other end of the phone call. This is the scene when Sharon Stone comes and takes all the stuff out of the safety deposit box."
Oh yeah.
And so I'm calling De Niro's character to say, "Your wife's here. I can't stop her from doing this. If you want to do something, you're going to have to get down here." And So I said, "Fine." And they said, "So just stay on the line and we'll click you on and click you off when we don't want to hear you." And I said, "Okay." So we did like about, I don't know, five or six takes and De Niro would add some, they would start at a different point, you know, and change things a little bit. And, you know, I think that's why he wanted, you know, a real person on the line rather than, you know, the script supervisor calling. And I did that, and it was great. Well, about a week later, I get a call and say, "Okay, we're flying you back up to Las Vegas to do the other side of that scene." And I said, "Oh, great." And so they picked me up at the hotel, and it's me. And for some reason, Don Rickles is in the car with me.
Nice.
I have no idea why, where they were taking him or what, you know, what he was doing. And he was great. He couldn't have been, you know, a nicer person for a ride to the where we were shooting the bank. So I get there and they set it up and they said, okay, here's the thing. There's the phone. Sharon, will walk through at the beginning, you know, and saying she's going to do that. And then you need to call De Niro and tell him what, and do your side of the scene. I said, fine. And Scorsese said, unfortunately, Bobby is in Paris getting an award, so he's not going to be able to do his side of the scene. He apologizes, but, you know, it's just not going to work out. So I'll read his lines if that's the thing. And I said, sure, of course, that's fine. Well, he couldn't because he couldn't stop directing. So he'd say a line and then he'd be checking something and and his next cue would come up and he had something else on his mind. And so he did that two or three times. And said, I'm sorry, I'm going to have the script supervisor do it. I said, I understand. Go ahead. You know, we'll make this work however you need to do that.
So great. I thought you were going to say he had Rickles do it with you.
Yeah, right. Oh, yeah. I don't know where Rickles went. Maybe
calling you a hockey puck, you know.
Yeah, right. Golly, that would have been great.
So, Richard, we have about a minute and a half left. I just want to ask you, what is it like? Like, your scenes in Office Space are so great and so memorable. Probably the most memorable scenes in the film when you're in the full body cast and when you're doing the jump to conclusions map. What is that like for you as an actor to be part of something that is so iconic? And does it bother you? I know some actors don't like when they're associated with one thing. Are you okay with that, or does it kind of bother you?
No, I'm great with it.
Yeah.
That was the whole thing. When Mike Judge put the cast together, he said, we're going to go to Austin. It's my hometown. We're going to make this movie. We're going to have a great time. I'm going to show you, you know, good places to eat. I'm going to show you clubs where my band played, and you know, we'll work long days, but we'll have a great time. And that was it, you know. And that's exactly how it went. Now we were happy. We felt good about the product we put out there, and we were really excited about it. But you know, it's out of your hands, you know, at that point. And the studio, you know, wanted it cut to 90 minutes so they could have an extra screening during the summer as a summer feature, even though it was, I think they got released in March or something. But I wasn't able to make the premiere. I was actually doing a show in New York at the time, and. But I happened to, on Monday on a day off. I went to see the screening just you know at some theater that we were showing. It was a good house, and the audience really responded very well. And I thought, well, this is terrific. And the reviews were all good. I had no idea what they're going to be like. And then it was gone. I went back to the theater. I said next Monday let's do it, and it wasn't there anymore. They only rented a certain number of theaters for a certain number of days.
Let's jump into that. I want to have you on again soon because I want to hear the rest of this. You have so many great stories. I got through like three of my questions. So we'll do it again soon, though. I so appreciate your time, buddy. This has been fun.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
All right. Have a great night. That's Richard Reilly. Thanks also to Pat McGann for letting us replay his bit, and a fun night. We'll be back tomorrow night with
you're listening to the Talk of Lacrosse, Eagle 1490 AM. Pat Kreitlow.
Friday morning, we say goodbye to Chicago, reviewing a busy convention week for Democrats and looking ahead to the 74 days left to campaign.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow, weekday morning starting at 6. The Todd Alba Show.
Even Scott Walker and other Republicans are going apoplectic because Trump keeps melting down into these personal attacks. He's just off the rails, Trigby.
You know, Scott may not be the brightest man, but he knows what politics is. Donald Trump is never going to change. Scott, come on the show. We'll talk about it. Todd and I will be nice to you, and I won't make Badger Boy State jokes.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. Soaring high above La Crosse, this is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.